Hi, everyone. Thank you for coming tonight. As most of you know, this is the second to the last session here in and around LA. So thank you very much for coming tonight. August 7th, I think all the dates are on the board back by the table. August 7th is the next one here and will be the last one. So unless you're traveling to another city, either Las Vegas or in Connecticut, that'll be it. The tapes will still be available, catalogs are available, we still have a website. If there will be any future sessions that will be done impromptu, then that will be listed on the website. So if you keep checking the website, you'll find out. But this is, as far as we know right now, the end of the regular sessions. So anyway, thank you for attending. And if there are new people here who are not familiar with this, just very briefly, how this sort of unfolds is that I will go into the altered state and let Bashar come through. He will talk for a few minutes on what he thinks is important for tonight. But the majority of the session will be open for questions and answers. And what we have here is a remote mic. April's holding it right now. So if Bashar does choose you, when you call out Bashar and he picks you, just wait till the mic is handed to you so we can make sure we can get your question clearly on the tape so everyone can hear it.
And could you ask me to hold the mic to their
mouth? Yeah, hold it real close so that we pick you up clearly. Other than that, that's about it. Please have a good time, and I will see you all later. Enjoy the evening.
Good day to you this day of your time. How are you all? Once again, we take this opportunity to thank each and every one of you for allowing this transmission to occur in this manner and on this day of your time. Once again, each and every time your civilization allows for this transmission to occur, this kind of connection to be formed, it affords our civilization and many other civilizations an opportunity to experience, through this linkage, more facets, more perspectives of the universe, through each and every one of your perspectives, and this expands our understanding of all the different ways that creation can manifest itself. And so we thank you for this gift. We would like to begin this transmission, this day of your time, with the following idea that we will call the end of times, the in-between time, and the beginning of times. 'Tis a long title, I know, but make the best of it. we would like to extend to you now in this concept that we are perceiving from our point of view with our senses that there is a template grinding into position like a large, slowly turning gear, but that this template is almost in position. The balls have almost fallen into all the slots. All the setups of your collective consciousness are almost in place to allow there to be the opening of the floodgates of information, the continued acceleration of happenstance, the continued revelation of everyone's position, where they stand, what they stand for, who they are, who they hold themselves to be. In your present year, in your next year, and the year after that, the last times prior to your demarcation year of what you call your 2001, in these last moments, as this template moves into its final position and all things fall into place, there will be an acceleration of revelation of information as many things become more clear and as it becomes less and less possible for ideas and information to be withheld and kept secret. Now then will be the time that each and every one of you must, if you are willing, take firm grasp, firm hold of your idea of yourself, your identity, of your ideal of who and what you are, and pay attention to your own estimation of how much in alignment or not you are to your ideal self. For in these last few moments, as the template grinds into position, into final position, before the beginning of times, in this middle time, this brief middle time of the next 2.5 of your orbits, 2.5 of your years, this will be all the time allowed, in a sense, by your collective consciousness for all the components, that is, each and every one of you, components of the collective, all the time you have allowed yourselves to come to terms, to come to understanding, not in the sense of ultimate completion in this life, but in the sense of knowing, in the sense of choosing, in the sense of determining, in the sense of making a decision about who you are, moving forward with that in all the ways that you can with regard to your behavior and your actions. For as the template grinds into position, it will not leave many cracks to slip through. In fact, it will leave none. And if you do not find yourself, and we do not say this to be alarmist, but if you do not find yourself in total surrender of who you are, in letting go and being who you are created to be, within this next 2.5 years, you may find a great deal of difficulty finding any crack to slip through, any opening in the doorway to cross to the other side over the threshold. Now is the last moment of limbo that you have. Now is the last moment of neutrality that you have to make up your mind as to who you are and to behave as such, to act as such, to make a commitment as such to yourself, and to realize finally and more fully that there is no difference between what you call your true will and that which you term the will of God, that when you become your true self, what you have called the will of God and your own true will be synonymous, one and the same, no conflict, no contradiction, no dichotomy, but the awakening to the recognition that you are all aspects of the infinite, and the experience of that recognition will begin to fully bloom and take its place in your society in a practical, effective, experiential way. Please remember that all this talk about the template grinding into position, all this talk about this limbo time, this neutral time, all this talk about the end of times, the end of a cycle, and the beginning of times, the beginning of a new cycle, these are not mere metaphors. This is a description of energy and consciousness in motion, seeking and finding its place, and becoming anchored steadfastly into its new slot, its new formation, its new momentum, its new acceleration, and allowing yourself to know your place within it, to find your place within it, so that you will know you fit, so that you will know you belong, so that you will be able to experience the effortless belonging rather than the struggle you have experienced for generations. Now, in what you call your new timing, in the new revelations of information, if you wish to term it your new millennia, then will be seen in short order the time, space, reality, illusion for what it is. And if you then will allow yourself to know more concretely, more fully, more quickly, to know who you are, what you are, make a determination, and live according to that, then when the time, space, illusion begins to break down and fade away, you will then be capable of being left with that which is the only thing that exists, and that is yourself, your true, core, natural self. And that will be enough, because you will see and you will begin to experience that that has always been what has filled your entire reality and all the illusion of the vastness of space and time has always been filled by you, yourself, your idea of yourself, your belief of yourself, your notion of reality. Time to bring the notion back home, inside, within, instead of out there. Time, in many ways, to break the mirror and let the glass shatter and fall away, so that any and all reflections will be inner reflections, will be inner knowingness, will be insight into yourself, so that any and all experiences will add to the knowledge of who and what you are, and will no longer be projected outward onto others, projected outward onto outer reality, which keeps it separate from yourself. All experience is happening within you. There is no outside, except as you create there to seem to be. Now is the time, this limbo time, for you to come to terms with the idea that there is no outside, that it all takes place inside you, within your consciousness, within one point, here and now, the eternal creative moment. Because that's all there is, all there ever has been, and all there ever will be. And this will be the awakening of the Christ consciousness, the Buddha nature, the Krishna spirit, whatever you wish to term it. For that will be the time when names do not matter, but the experience of yourself will be the only thing that matters. And as we have said, the experience of yourself will be seen and felt to be synonymous with the experience of the One in all the ways that that can manifest in purer form, with more open eyes, more awareness in consciousness, and less illusion, and less filters. For these no longer serve you. For it is past time, and it is time to put away those toys. We thank you now for allowing us to share this perspective with you, and we remind you that as we shared these ideas, not only were your ears paying attention, but all the cells of your body were letting the information in on different levels, and it is within you, and always has been. And now is the time to allow it to wake up and become lucid in your own dream of life. Become not just the idea of lucid dreamers, but lucid livers. Everyone and every being will always be on their own path and will ultimately determine for themselves when and where they shall recognize who and what they are and their relationship to the infinite. To ask what is going to happen is really an open-ended question, for time is infinite, beings are infinite and eternal, and you need not worry that an individual in any given lifetime may or may not see this or that or know themselves, for it is always offered unto everyone within creation the opportunity to know the self at any time of choosing. Let go of your worry. Let go of your attachment to that question. It doesn't serve you, and it doesn't serve them. For it only compounds separation when you ask it. Do you follow?
Yes.
Sharing.
Sharp.
Female.
Yes. Good day, Bashar.
And good day to you.
It's a pleasure to be sharing with you this evening.
It is
Thank
our
you.
Pleasure always to be sharing with any and all of you.
Thank you. I would like to ask... I've been having someone walking on my bed. I don't see anything, but I feel the impression, imprints, and I see indentations on the bed.
Yes, and so?
And I thought it was my cats, but when I look, they're never around.
Yes.
So I was wondering, who is walking on my bed?
You must understand that this can be many things. First and foremost, as we have said, other realities are becoming more solid to you now. That which was heretofore immaterial is now becoming more material. As you accelerate, as you reach higher vibrations, so too do higher vibrations become more solid to you, and so too do their inhabitants. And so thus, you are perceiving the idea of other intelligences of higher frequency that have always been in contact, now becoming more manifest in your reality as your reality becomes a closer manifestation of theirs. The footprints then, the indentations then, are a sign and a signal to you, as one would follow a trail, as one would track footprints in the snow. You are able to be given a clue, a sign, that you are approaching a realm, a level, a frequency, a vibration of reality that lets you know that your world in general, and many of you specifically, are raising your vibrations higher and higher and are capable now of more direct, immediate, and even physiological interaction, concrete, tangible interaction with other beings, other consciousnesses, other awarenesses that heretofore were invisible and intangible to you. So you are, in that sense, being given signs and signals that you are walking in more alignment to the path that you are by being able to see the path of others. treading in your reality. Do you understand this?
Yes.
Then as you go to sleep, reach out and embrace interaction, knowing that you do so with your own self-empowerment, never as a victim, never in the idea that these things are more powerful than you, but invite, out of unconditional love, a stronger, self-empowering interaction of equals, so that you may continue to walk in the footsteps of your higher self. That is our suggestion, all right?
Yes, I will follow that.
Thank you.
Thank you. May I ask one more question?
You?
No.
Okay. No.
Me?
Hello? Yes, you. One moment.
One moment.
What happened to hello and good day?
Sorry, hello, good day.
All right, hello and good day.
I wonder if you could offer me some insights into...
Speak up and be bold.
I wonder if you could offer me some insights into a sequence of events that happened to me the other day.
Such as?
I was in London and I was sitting having a coffee with a friend of mine.
Yes.
And a beggar, an old man, came up to me and he had three yellow roses.
Yes.
And he asked me for some. He asked me if I'd like to buy them, three of them, for a pound.
Yes.
So I did. So I had the three roses, and then about 10 minutes later, another beggar came up to me and asked me for some change. And I said I didn't have any, but if he'd like to take the roses, he could.
Yes.
So he was a bit baffled, but he took the roses and
all
walked
right.
off. And then about another 10 minutes later, a young girl from a sort of street urchin came up to me with the three roses again.
Nice.
And asked me if I'd like to buy them off for a pound each.
Nice.
And so
the cycle goes on.
Yeah. But I was interested to know if there was any particular symbolism within that.
There always is.
That you might be able to offer me
nice.
In terms of...
A rose is a rose is a rose. The idea to understand here is the interchangeability of mediums of exchange. And that love comes in many forms. And it's all a medium of exchange. Interchangeable. From hand to hand, it is the same energy given and taken. And there is no difference between the roses and the money and the act and the event and you and they. It is all one thing. This is the significance. So that you are given by yourself and by them an opportunity in this play that took place on your street to experience that it is all a matter of relationship, give and take, and that give and take and the relationships that are in the event really point to the fact that you are the event itself, more than the participant. Does this make any sense to you so far?
Yes.
Being that there were for you three roses gives you an opportunity to understand that you work well in the concept of triad stability, and that is simply the idea that it is also for you a sign of the integration of your past, present, and future in that moment, and any other aspect of your consciousness that involves the concepts of threes, that you will do well in any endeavor if you will always give yourself an opportunity not just to see any one aspect, such as just the beginning, but to see it as a single event, the beginning, middle, and end, as one thing in time and space. To look at it holistically. Any idea that comes along to you that is born within your inspiration, to be able to stretch your senses, to extend your awareness into the event, and see all the aspects in linear time, beginning, middle, and end, all at once, to feel it all at once as a single moment, will help you understand how, in linear time, any such event will unfold, and will help you, with your own self-empowerment, to direct the unfoldment of that event by not directing it so strongly. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
For if you will see the event holistically, you will know that it is unfolded in absolute perfect accordance to who you are willing to be, And this gift of exchange and gift of the symbol of love is the love you give to yourself, and the conjunction of the love that you give to body, mind, and spirit. Those are the three roses that are the one garden that is you and is your medium of exchange, but only when all three are on the same level, present and equal. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Does that help you?
Yes, it does. So why particularly yellow?
You are dealing with the chakra of intention in the solar plexus, the midline of your body, that which is your desires, your wishes, your projections, and that which is the symbol and the requirement of balance of all levels. Do you follow?
Yeah.
Does that help you?
Yes.
Thank you. The male. One and two.
Am I one?
Do you wish to be?
I want to be one.
All right.
Thank you. Good evening, Bashar.
And good day to you.
I've been reading various books about man's extraterrestrial origins. And with
that is, to some degree, misleading.
Okay.
But we understand what you are saying. It is too sweeping a term to say mankind's extraterrestrial origins. But we will allow you to continue and see where this leads.
Okay. The gist of the books I've been reading are that there are various reptilian influences that a lot of people don't know about, that there are references that have been excised from the Bible and so on that refer to basically reptilian creator gods. And I was wondering if you could give us a sort of an overview of the history of the reptilian and other Pleiadian involvement in the creation of humans and
no.
their history.
Thank However, you. When come time for the opening of the chambers that are now about to be open, a lot of that information will be in there.
Okay.
A lot of those chambers contain the history you seek.
Okay, and last...
The chambers under the pyramids and Sphinx.
Right. The last time we spoke, I asked you if you could give us answers to any of the unasked questions that went, you know, unasked over
When
all
you
these
learn
years.
How to ask the unasked questions, I can answer them.
Okay. My first question is, how does one go about asking the unasked questions?
Not that way.
Okay.
Do you remember our monologue?
Yes.
And how all must now be within. That is your biggest clue.
Okay.
Thank you. Number two.
Good day, Bashar.
And to you, good day.
My roommate has a cat, and she seems to... She's always kind of screaming out and...
The roommate or the cat?
The cat. And hissing and having some sort of problem that's gone on for a really long time.
Yes.
And I'm just wondering if you could give me any
Why
insight.
Why are you asking for the roommate?
Okay, well, she's not here, for
yes.
one.
Is there any correlation you can make between the behavior of the animal and the behavior of the roommate? Did that answer your question? Or only make it less clear?
Yeah, I don't see the correlation.
Then let us ask it this way.
Okay.
Do you see any correlation between the acting out of the animal and the things that are suppressed within the human? How well do you know the roommate? How well do you know the roommate's history?
Pretty well.
Then, do you see any correlation between the animal's acting out behavior and the roommate's inner life or history? In terms of what may not be being said, what may not be being allowed out?
Yeah, I suppose I could think on that and maybe see the correlation, but it's not immediately obvious to me.
All right. It may not be territory that the roommate will allow you to go to, but it may. But the idea to understand in general, if this will be of any help, will be that animals, through unconditional love, are reflections of many of the things that the humans that they are in a relationship with are going through. And it doesn't always mean that the outward actions of the animal are one for one a mirror of the outward actions of the human. In many cases, the animal will be the outlet for what the human will not allow themselves, or what the human may be afraid of within themselves. Animals in general that exhibit the idea of disease in various forms will usually be reflecting aspects of their relationship to their human. Do you follow?
Right.
Therefore, investigate this from this angle and see if you can discover a more apt and immediate and obvious correlation. But I will ask this. Do you know anything of your roommate's wishes and desires for themselves in life?
Yes.
Are they living their excitement?
In some ways, no.
Are they not living their excitement in major ways?
Probably, yeah.
Are you guessing, or do you know?
Yes.
Yes what? Yes, they are not living their excitement, or yes, they are?
They are not.
Yeah. All right. Have you ever heard the phrase, a cry in the darkness?
Yes.
Have you ever heard the phrase, the dark night of the soul?
Uh-huh.
Do you understand the cat more clearly now?
Yes. I just don't know what I could do. Is there anything I can do to help?
Love, support, sharing, exploration, communication, talk, if the other is willing. Exploration of what might be. The things that this individual would believe are their heart's desire, what excites them the most, an exploration of available opportunities that they can act upon and or create that will allow them to know they can live their joy instead of feeling that it is beyond their reach. Do you follow this?
Yes.
But it cannot be forced, and it cannot be undertaken in a manner where your energy says that they must choose that path. It must be an unconditional dialogue. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Does this help you?
Yes.
That is what you can do. And of course, the other thing you can do is to live your life to the fullest, act on your joy to the fullest, because then by example, you radiate energy that might, if they are willing, might rub off on them. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Does that help you?
Yes, thank you,
Bashar.
Thank you.
Bashar. You! Nice.
Thank you. Good day to you, Bashar.
And good day to you.
Biological life is the best receiver. Is there other examples of this statement besides channeling and the crop circles that you can think of?
Inspiration?
Inspiration?
Yes, inspiration.
Inspire?
Yes.
Okay.
You asked for another example of the effect of being a biological receiver. The effect of this would be what you call inspiration. Do you understand?
Yeah, because that's the best way to receive information.
Inspiration is the reception of information.
Right.
Allow me to remind you, energy is information.
Right.
Do you understand? When are you not receiving?
When are you not receiving
energy? Yes, when are you not receiving?
Never.
Thank you.
then it is up to you at any given moment to tune yourself to the information you are always receiving, and in so tuning, to find inspiration being a reflection of the relationship you believe needs to occur at that moment between the self you consider yourself to be and the information you are receiving. Did that make sense to you?
Not quite.
Inspiration, what you experience as inspiration, ideas that pop into your head, is the result of how you define at any given moment your relationship, the self that you are, in its relationship to the information you are constantly receiving on all levels. The inspiration you receive or experience is the result, the effect of the definition of your relationship to that information, where you stand relative to all the information you are receiving, where you believe you stand relative to the information you are always receiving on all levels. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Inspiration, therefore, is the slice, the bandwidth, the particular frequency that represents the third harmonic, the difference between and the correlation between the frequency that you consider yourself to be and the frequency of all information, which is the one. Does that make sense?
No.
You, the self you define yourself to be, is a frequency, is it not?
Yep.
When you change the definition of yourself, that is a different frequency, is it not?
Yep.
The frequency of all information, the frequency of the one, that is a frequency, is it not?
Right.
The relationship between the frequency of yourself and the frequency of the one is the effect and the experience you call inspiration.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Does that help you?
It does. The radio telescopes that we've created here on Earth as kind of one giant ear around the Earth,
yes.
Are these pretty much a waste?
Well, they are not all listening to the same frequencies.
No.
All right. What about it?
Are these kind of a wasted...
Nothing is a waste of time.
Effort.
Nothing. But everything can be learned from. However, in terms of what you may call the quote-unquote practical answer to your question,
yeah,
there are almost no intelligently organized radio waves in your immediate neighborhood to be received at this time. Those civilizations which were producing radio wave transmissions that are in any way, shape, or form nearby enough for the radio wave signal to have reached your planet, have long since stopped producing radio wave transmissions. And the radio waves have long since passed your position. Other civilizations still producing radio waves are so far away, they haven't reached your civilization yet. You are in a radio desert. Do you follow that?
Yes.
Now, this is not to say that some of your radio antenna have not from time to time picked up little bits here and there, but that is mostly because sometimes the radio waves are deflected by various gravitational and electromagnetic anomalies and shunted back toward your planet. But in terms of direct line of sight, as you put it, you are in a radio frequency desert and will not really pick up much with those instruments right now.
So this effort is best reflected, don't you think, in the communication that's going on with ears of corn and not ears of steel?
Yes. As we have said, yes. Biological receivers are more sensitive to different bandwidths. And there are many more kinds of them on your planet that would then allow there to be broader reception of a broader spectrum of transmissions. Especially plants being great antenna. Trees, growing crops are great antenna for picking up certain bandwidths and spectrums of transmissions of energy. Yes. Does that help you?
Yes, it does. Have trees ever changed?
In what way?
Well, in a sense of receiving the same kind of energy as crops.
They do not receive the same kind of frequency of energy as crops, but they have changed, yes.
In account of some kind of communication?
I mean, in yes. response?
What do you think evolution is but a response to new information? Does that make sense to you? Have not the trees on your planet, along with everything else, evolved, changed over time, over millennia?
Yes.
That is because they respond to new information. Do you understand?
Uh-huh.
Does that help you?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Male. Male.
Yes, Bashar. Oh, thank you. Good day to you, Bashar.
And good day.
We've heard several questions tonight about cats. And a friend of mine once postulated that there was a universe that existed at the same time and within the same space as this universe.
All universes exist, in a sense, here and now.
I understand, but he said that only cats and babies could see these universes.
For the most part, they are very receptive to other dimensions of reality. It is not impossible for others to see this, and other life forms on your planet do perceive them in a variety of ways. But the cat is the general symbol on your planet of that consciousness that is, in a sense, innately capable of looking through dimensional doorways, as, of course, are children, since they have not yet learned how not to.
Which brings me to my true question.
Yes.
If babies can indeed see this and adults generally cannot, in what
adults way? Generally will not.
Will not. Okay, and what is the mechanism in which this is lost, and how can it be then regained?
Did I not just tell you?
More or less, but generally, learning. I'm looking for a specific
learning.
So what is the process of unlearning?
Redefinition of belief. Because learning is simply the imposition of definition. To understand that definition is arbitrary, and to impose a new definition, and to allow the new definition reality, is, in that sense, then the unlearning and the new learning that will allow you to perceive whatever it is you wish to perceive. Does that make sense?
So then it is choosing a definition which works.
Yes.
That makes sense. Thank you,
and not just the choosing of the definition, but in the choosing, the knowing, without doubt, the knowing that the choice automatically is real, and not just something arbitrarily imposed upon another definition you actually believe to be more real. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you, Bashar.
Thank you. Bashar. Are you all singing tonight?
Absolutely.
You.
Thank you, Bashar, and good day.
And good day.
My question tonight, I have a couple questions. My first question is
Speak up and be bold so that all may hear what you have to share.
My first question is that, being that I'm a believer in...
A believer in what?
The creation of my life, that all things that manifest in my life are my creation as a result of my beliefs and my thoughts, I want to know why I think I'm creating a space for unconditional love from another person in my life, yet I keep attracting very conditional love, and I'm wondering...
How much space have you created for unconditional love from yourself to yourself?
A lot.
A lot means there is room.
Well, I seem to have more unconditional love for
my... Stop. Back up.
Okay.
Listen again, for the answer is in the question.
Okay.
Do you give unconditional love to yourself? Yes or no?
Mostly.
There is no mostly. It is unconditional or it is conditional. Be honest.
Well, I guess not then.
You guess not what?
I guess I don't do that.
Well then, is it a surprise that the reflections are conditional?
No.
Understand. If you require unconditional love from someone else, your love for yourself is not, by definition, unconditional, because you require it from someone else.
Okay.
That's the definition. The definition of unconditional love contains that you do not need it from someone else.
Otherwise, it's not unconditional.
I get it.
Make sense?
Yes, it does.
Paradoxically, as soon as your love for yourself is unconditional, it is likely, not absolute, but likely, that you will receive the unconditional reflection from others around you, but you won't care if you do or not. That's how it works.
Okay.
Because it's a self-fulfilling system.
Okay.
Does that make logical sense
yes,
to you?
Yes, it does. But more so than I thought it would.
We are happy.
My next question was, if, in following my excitement, and the excitement contains another being.
Not always.
I mean, this is a particular circumstance I'm talking about. And yes. I'm following my excitement, and I can feel it, and I feel myself following it, and I have this openness toward it. But then within, I don't know, just to use a time frame, an hour, it turns into the biggest disappointment that was once the excitement. So
why do you disappoint yourself?
Well, I'm trying not to have expectations in following my
You're
excitement.
You're trying not to have expectations. When will you actually not have expectations?
Tomorrow.
Will you put that on your calendar?
Yes, I will.
Do you again please remember that the idea of disappointment is that you are taking yourself out of the driver's seat. You are disappointing yourself. Reappoint yourself as the one in charge of your life. And remember that all circumstances are neutral. The only way you would experience what you are calling disappointment is if you are putting an automatic meaning to a situation that doesn't necessarily have the meaning. Do you follow?
Yes, I do.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does. I guess.
But?
Well, I don't know. I guess I'm wondering then, how do you, or how do I?
Yes.
Stop. I mean,
well,
if you...
Well, it's very easy. Do you want to know how?
Yes.
You will stop when it no longer serves you in your estimation. Because you do not do anything you really don't want to do. As long as you continue to do something, it is in your definitional estimate that it serves you to continue to do so. When it is your definition that it really doesn't serve you, you will stop. Because none of you do anything you don't really want to do. That you don't define as something that serves you. None of you. None of you do anything that you define doesn't serve you. So if you're still doing it, you define that it serves you. When you change that definition, you'll stop doing it. I guarantee it. Because that's the way you work. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
That's how you stop. It's not a matter of process. It's not a matter of effort. It's not a matter of having to do anything special in that sense in order to overcome your tendency to choose this or that. You choose what you choose because you have decided that you are making the correct choice according to what you define as serving you the best. Change your definition of what serves you and what doesn't, and believe me, you will instantly choose something different.
Thank
instantly.
You.
There'll be no effort involved at all. Did that make sense to you?
Yes, it does, Bashar.
Why, thank you.
Thank you.
Bashar. 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 Bashar.
You!
Hi, Bashar.
And you, good day.
I want to thank you for the enormous help you've given me over the last few years.
We thank you for helping yourself.
And now as I'm coming face to face with myself...
Yes. Do you like what you see?
Yeah, more
and
more.
All right, more and more.
Exploring what it means for me to play.
Yes. Remember that what it means for you to play is determined by the meaning you choose to give it. The
yes.
meaning isn't built in.
Right.
All right.
Well, I've noticed that... usually it involves being in the moment.
Usually, yes.
And
unless
you are choosing to play at not being in the moment.
Yeah.
That's the only exception.
Okay, yeah, I figured that out then.
Oh, thank you.
And usually it involves me keeping my word to myself.
Yes.
Me giving my word and keeping it.
Yes. For only you give yourself reasons not to. But then you are keeping another kind of word. Remember that you are never not really keeping your word. It's just that sometimes you change what the word is that you're keeping.
Okay.
You never don't trust. You never don't have faith. You never don't keep your word. You just change the word you're keeping.
Uh-huh.
Decide what word you want to keep. And keep that.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. And
yes.
Also, I've noticed that my
usually
no, not this is now.
Oh, all right.
That my left eye is a lot bigger and brighter and clearer when it used to be all squinty and red.
All right.
Usually with a headache.
Yes, very good.
And I'm assuming that's a reflection that I'm like using my right brain.
And you are assuming that because?
Because you told me I should use my right brain.
All right. But that's not why you're assuming it. Not because I told you so.
Well, you told me my dog was circling to the left because I wasn't.
That's not why either. You are assuming this because? This is not a trick question.
I'm blank.
You are assuming this because this is what you prefer to assume.
Oh, okay.
Simple, wasn't it?
All right.
See? No tricks.
So it's not... That's
just
not
obvious.
Why? That's not why, then.
I just told you that's why.
Oh, okay. So, I have a question about...
Oh, all right. Surprise.
One of my most fervent passions is...
Most fervent passion.
Is...
Yes.
To communicate with... animals and take care of them.
Yes.
Especially my own.
All right. And? So?
And so...
Are your actions commensurate then with this passion?
Usually.
There's the usually. All right. I knew it would sneak in there sometime.
But, you know, the maintenance, the daily maintenance...
One moment. May I remind you that even though I understand... that following your passion will not always result in exactly the same opportunity for the same actions all the time, I do want to remind you that in a general sense, the term fervent passion and usually don't go together.
Okay.
If it is a fervent passion, then it is always. Not
right.
Usually.
Right.
You're getting the point.
Yeah.
All right. And so?
So how can I redefine, the drudgery of...
The what?
The drudgery.
The what?
That it feels like sometimes, not
how
all the time.
How can you redefine?
Like every other day it feels like, taking care of them.
What are you defining as drudgery? For that is your definition.
Cleaning the cages and picking up the poop and, all of that. Stuff.
Why is that drudgery?
Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's fun.
Then why is it fun sometimes and not fun other times?
Well, that's it.
Yes, well, answer the question. Why is it fun sometimes? What's going on within you when it's fun that's different than what's going on within you when it's not?
Because sometimes it seems like it'd be more fun to do something else and...
That's not it. What's going on within you when it's fun as opposed to what's going on within you when it's not? What's the difference? What's the real difference dynamically
lazy.
Within you? Within your definitions, within your energies, within your beliefs, what is different between the times it seems like fun and the times it does not?
I'm being lazy.
What does that mean?
I don't want to do it.
Why not?
I want to goof off. I want to water the lawn instead.
Why is that goofing off? Why is that goofing off?
What, watering the lawn?
Yes.
What? No, that's more fun. That's
why?
More fun.
Why?
It's always fun.
Why? All right, I'll ask you this way. Do you believe that if you then go and water your lawn, that somehow the animals will be being neglected?
Sometimes, yeah. I feel like, well, I should be feeding them, you know, and I'm putting off feeding them.
All right. Do you know why you are having this dichotomy?
Why?
Because you are creating there to be a dichotomy between the idea of different things as expressions of your joy.
Right.
And you're not trusting that if your joy, in fact, does shift into another action, that somehow that means something else is being neglected, which means you don't trust your joy.
Exactly.
So why do you have that definition?
Well, that was my other question. You said once here that that if you're doing your joy, then it doesn't matter at the end of the day, then you've done everything that you needed to do
but
that day.
Going into it the way you're going into it doesn't allow the timing to work itself out synchronistically because you're putting a specific spin on the idea of what you're doing.
Yes.
If you were truly trusting that your joy in its shifts was really all right, then everything would work itself out and you would find yourself with the correct amount of time and being in joy with the things that really need doing.
What about the idea of, like, you know, all of a sudden your interest shifts, something else seems more exciting at that moment to do, and then you don't complete what you're doing, and then all of a sudden
you didn't hear what I just told you. I'll say it again. If you understand how to trust your joy, then you will know and you will experience that when your joy shifts, it will do so in such a way that it will create the time you need to do the other things in a joyful way.
Okay.
Your assumption that it won't is what's creating the dichotomy in your experience.
Okay. Thank
you. Do you understand?
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. What? Stop. What?
Good evening, Bashar.
And to you, good day.
My research has been very exciting, very fascinating.
Has been?
Well, it still is.
Oh, all right.
And I have about a million questions. I'm going to try to get in a few of them.
We will see how many we will allow you.
Okay.
Maybe one.
I want to know.
Yes. What do you want to know?
If there are other agendas, or let's say reasons for the hybridization process besides the possibility of somehow advancing the species of grays, like perhaps. We may face a catastrophic event of some kind, and maybe part of our civilization will be in some way destroyed or extinct.
To answer your question, yes, there are other reasons for the hybridization agenda.
Can you give me some of those reasons?
No.
All right. Another thing, I'm very interested in the origins of humanity as well. And I was wondering, is it possible that each and every one of us on this planet are in contact on some level?
With what?
With our creator gods, extraterrestrials?
I will put it this way. Each and every one of you is in contact in some way, shape, or form. Yes.
I felt that way, too. When did... let's say...
This is the final question.
Okay.
Make it a good one.
I will do my best. When first was man made sentient in terms of being divine, perhaps from one or many of the ET inception groups?
You are speaking physiologically?
No, spiritually.
Then?
When he became self-aware and...
If you are speaking spiritually, you are talking about the One.
All right.
And there is no time there.
And everything it always within was. Creation is part of that One.
Yes. Everything is conscious.
Okay.
And consciousness. If you are talking about the idea of the inception of spirit into materiality and the ability of the material, quote-unquote, vessel to express the sentiency of spirit, that has a fixed point in linear time, according to your history, of several million years ago.
Okay. And can you pinpoint the species that might have been in charge of that?
Yes, I can, but since that was your last question, I won't answer this one. Thank
Don't
you.
Don't be mean.
Male. Then that male. Number two, do you know who you are? Number one.
Yes.
Good day.
Greetings, Bashar.
Good day.
We know each other. We know each other, do we not?
I know you now.
Mm-hmm. My question is, what would you have me know?
Yourself, as completely and fully as you possibly are willing to do. That is all you need to know.
Thank you, Bashar.
Does that help you?
Yes, it does.
Thank you. Number two.
Hi, Bashar.
And to you, good day.
I had a very interesting dream.
Oh, all right.
I'm always having these great dreams. We found a shrine made of rose quartz in Africa.
All right.
And the energy around this shrine was something having to do with the family of Moses.
All right.
And
Moses.
Yeah. And we had to do some restorative work on it, and we were all very happy that we found it. And the end result was that it was a symbol of the son of Moses, and that the son of Moses was in some way a Christ-like figure. And I did a little research and looked in the Bible, and apparently Moses had a couple of sons, and they don't really mention a whole lot about them, and I'm just wondering what symbolism that is for me and why, what that
it
has
to do. It is connecting to ancient information that helps you feel more complete in the present. It helps you complete your sense and idea of self, your sense and idea of your path and patterns. It is the very idea itself of ancient wisdom, ancient knowledge, that allows you to feel that you have a foundation, that allows you to draw from that foundation in your present and onward into what you call your future. So you are making connections within yourself to reestablish a conscious link to the idea that you have foundations that will allow you to move forward.
Okay.
To expand and discover the idea of the Christ awareness or Buddha nature within yourself.
Right. Okay, that does make sense. The sense was that this shrine was like the Holy Grail. It had all kinds of
information.
It is
your own Holy Grail, yes.
Right. Okay. One other quick question.
Yes.
I got a pretty major energy adjustment. Pretty major energy adjustment from some beings who I'm hoping you might identify for me.
Because you are hoping, we will not.
Ah. All right.
Hope, in that sense, in that context, shatters knowingness.
Bashar.
Thank you.
You, male, male, female, male, male. Number two, do you know who you are?
Yes.
Number three, do you know who you are?
Yes.
Number one, good day.
Can you pass that?
Good day, Bashar.
And you, good day.
You had suggested that I
speak up and be bold.
You suggested before that I needed to do some digging in and uncover some things for myself. And I've been projecting that along the lines of the ET connection that I was very hesitant to really get into. You had said at one point that there was a prenatal connection. Can you tell me more information about that at this time? Okay. I woke
Anything
up,
else?
I woke up from a dream last night where Jesus had turned into the gray form of the alien.
Yes.
Can you say anything about that?
Yes. What I can and will say about that is to understand the correlation between one symbol and the other as it relates to the concept of collective consciousness and the relationship between what you perceive to be two distinct collective consciousnesses that are not really two.
I've been clear intellectually when I'm awake.
This is one of the biggest clues we have ever given you.
That this is so, but then in the sleep state, I still have these feelings of terror and fear.
What we have just said to you will alleviate the terror and the fear if you understand what we just said to you. Ponder what we have just said, and in understanding, the fear will dissolve mm-hmm. in the light of understanding.
Is this the area that I need to do the digging?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
But it is not digging so much as it is allowance of what is right in front of you and what is really obvious on a higher level. The symbols of collective consciousnesses that seem to be two are not two. And therein lies understanding and the dissolution of fear.
Okay, thank you.
Number two. Wait for your magic stick.
Got my stick.
All right. Then shift gears.
Good day. I'm wondering if you can help me to better understand the relationship of human consciousness to other dimensions of reality. It seems that certain dimensions are well within our reach, like the three-dimensional realm, some of the electromagnetic realms.
Yes.
I'm wondering what dimensions lie just outside of our grasp but within our reach, and perhaps what lies within our intuition but beyond our reach. Is that too abstruse or?
No. So. There is nothing that is beyond you. In the intuition sense, there is nothing that is beyond you. In the manifestational sense of experience in physical linear space-time, yes, there are a few dimensional frequency domains that would not translate into your dimensional experience. But beyond the idea of physical manifestation, nothing is withheld from you in terms of your ability to comprehend and have an internal experience of awareness of how you are these other dimensions, how they are contained within you, not really are they beyond you. The fuller realization that what you call other dimensions are within you rather than beyond you is the igniting trigger to allow you to experience them in your intuitive center. Did that make sense?
Yes, it did. Are you saying then that most of these realms of experience, are they, I don't want to get too technical, but are they electromagnetic in structure? Is this what we're experiencing?
Not all of them, no.
Is there something beyond that that is outside yes. of our... What does it... Light, is it a different kind of energy that's beyond our ability to interact with or
It is
resonate?
Not beyond your ability to interact with, but in the interacting with it, you create an interim energy that you can understand, such as electromagnetic energy, so that you do not necessarily perceive the energy you are interacting with directly, but indirectly through an interpretation that makes sense in your reality domain called electromagnetic energy. Hmm. Did that make sense?
Yes, it did. Thank you.
Thank you. And number three.
Good evening, Bashar.
And you, good day.
Bashar, can you tell me what the difference is between who you choose to be and who you are created to be?
There can be great difference, and there can be no difference.
Can you give a little bit more?
Yes. There is great difference between who you choose to be and who you were created to be when your definitions of yourself are out of alignment energetically with your core. There is little or no difference between who you choose to be and who you were created to be when your definitions are in alignment with your core. In other words, when you experience fear, you are experiencing your energy flowing through definitions that are out of alignment with your created self. When you experience your energy as joy, you are experiencing your energy as flowing through definitions that are in alignment with your created self. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does. Maybe let me add a little bit more to that.
Yes.
An example. Let's say I enjoy ice cream.
Yes.
But I enjoy vanilla ice cream.
Yes.
And somebody introduces me to strawberry ice cream.
Yes.
I don't really prefer strawberry. But then somebody says, well, then choose to prefer strawberry.
Yes.
But I don't. I like vanilla.
Yes.
Well, where did that come from?
It comes from your free will and your ability to change who you think you are and see what is or is not in alignment with who you actually are. The idea also, of course, to understand is that who you actually are is specific to different lifetimes with regard to an overall agenda you may have imposed upon yourself that sets up certain parameters that you will not go beyond. Okay. Now, there is always this ability. When you are offered an opportunity to change, you can allow yourself to say and check in with yourself in this way by saying, is the thing that I say does excite me truly the thing that excites me, or only the thing that I think should excite me? Am I projecting it as such, or is it truly representative of who I am? Am I afraid to allow something else to be my excitement? Or is it truly not my excitement? You can always check in with yourself and as honestly as you can determine for yourself whether something really is or is not who you are. But give yourself the opportunity to find out whether you are just believing that it's not or whether it truly is not. Because sometimes you can convince yourself that something shouldn't excite you when in fact it really is indicative of who you are. So always take the time to find out and check in to make sure you're not just projecting a filter on top of your excitement to make it seem as if something does not excite you, or to make something else seem as if it does when it really doesn't. Did you follow that?
Yes, I did.
And once you have determined by checking in that way, once you have made that assessment that something truly at this moment is your excitement, then let it be true for you, even if in the next moment it automatically changes on its own in a natural way. It doesn't mean that in the last moment it really wasn't your excitement, just because it changes in the next one, if it changes naturally. Do you follow that?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
Does your core self, you refer to the core self, does that come from all that is? Does it come from yourself, or is it both?
It is both. As we said in the beginning, when you find that you surrender to your true being, then your will and the will of all that is the same will. Do you follow?
Yes.
But of course, again, we understand that sometimes semantics, especially as these concepts translate into your language, can be confusing, because in a sense there can be many ideas of what the core self is relative to living a physical life. As we just pointed out, when you impose upon yourself physical limitation, you will create definitions that are limitations that are for a purpose. And therefore there can be a core self that is this physical core self, but there can also be a bigger core self that is beyond it. Do you follow?
No.
In other words, let us say you are simply pure consciousness without limitation whatsoever. You follow me?
Yes.
Now, let us say you will experience, you choose to experience yourself as a physical being. This, by definition, imposes what you call limitations on the unlimited self. Yet, that doesn't mean that for the purpose of the life, you are not being true to your core self as you invented yourself to be for the duration of the life. Just because you are limited in comparison to the unlimited self doesn't mean you're not being your true core self or being true to yourself just because you are following the limitations you imposed upon yourself for a purpose. Did you follow that?
Yes, I did.
Does that help clarify the idea?
Yes, it does.
Thank you. Where was the one who called before? A female. A female. Yes.
Good day, Bishar.
Anna, you good day.
I wanted to ask you a little about the South American hallucinogenic drug ayahuasca.
Yes.
Could you give some description of what it actually does to the human brain or the body?
It allows there to be transference of associative chemicals across synapses that usually inhibit such transference. So does that make sense to you?
So does it wake up an unconscious area?
It allows there to be more expression of an area you call unconscious. It doesn't wake up an unconscious area. It allows there to be a medium for the expression of what you typically call more of your unconscious self.
And does it actually connect you into another area of existence, or like
yes,
could you describe that a little bit?
We do not know if there are words in your language for that, which is why the experience must be visceral, but we will make what attempt we can with your language as it is. One moment. I will ask you a question. Can you, in your imagination, and you can all play along, can you, in your imagination, feel what it would be like if your consciousness existed only within the hairs of the cap?
Yes.
All right. That is a close analogy to the explanation of that reality and that realm that you are connecting to with that particular substance. It is such that it takes the perspective of consciousness, explodes it, and yet at the same time allows it to be uniform, but in a specific way. In a sense, it takes you out of yourself, allows you to experience the periphery of yourself, yet in a way that feeds back to the totality of yourself. Is this making any sense to you?
Yes. I was wondering if it allowed you to connect into more of a sort of Kachina type of energy.
Yes and no. It has the ability to loosen the hinges on certain doors that may connect to those realities. It does not, in and of itself, place you there. It still requires an intentional choice to walk through those doorways after the hinges have been oiled.
Okay.
And again, remember that like all such substances provided for these purposes by the earth, it must be utilized with great respect, and it must not be assumed that the power exists within the substance, but that it is only a reflection of the power that exists within you, and is not always required for the duplication of that experience.
Just a catalyst.
Yes. Catalyst.
Thank you very much.
It is very strongly connected to the energy of the animal called the cat for a variety of reasons and in a variety of ways. And when in the midst of that experience, you will find that one of the strongest guides, when used properly and with great respect, will be the jungle cats. Do you follow me?
Yes, I do follow you. Thank you, Bashar.
Bashar.
Does that help you?
Yes, it does.
Thank you. You. Then the male. Do you know who you are? Number one, good day.
Thank you. Hi, Bashar.
Be cautious what you ask.
I am.
You will only be given so many spaces.
I understand.
Choose wisely.
I will. Thank you. I would like to know if my healing procedure is going along.
Are you sure you want to ask this?
Well, I was told this week that I'm anemic, and I've been taking mesotrace supplements, and I'm wondering if there's something else I can do since I'm eating a lot of foods that are rich in iron, and they obviously aren't having an effect.
They are, but not sufficiently.
Can you recommend?
One moment.
Okay.
One moment. If you will, but you must make sure it is in very natural form, not having been overly cooked, overly burnt, overly processed, in its most natural form. If you will, allow yourself the ingestion of whatever substances you desire into your body to be taken in conjunction with cayenne. Do you follow?
Yeah.
Then it will be in your system more readily and more rapidly.
Okay.
There is in your system an impedance that allows for lack of absorption. If you will allow yourself to take these supplements natural in form as possible. Natural in form as possible. With cayenne. Then it will be shunted into all areas of your system through the dilation of your blood vessels more rapidly, more quickly, more effectively. Okay. Do you follow me?
I do, thank you. In terms of healing my scar, can you recommend either aloe vera, vitamin E, or the MSM lotion?
You will find that in many ways the aloes will be most beneficial for you at this time.
Okay.
And again, in the ingestion of the cayenne and the dilation of the blood vessels, this substance will be more readily absorbed through the skin.
Thank you. Can you talk about the how the praying mantis creatures relate to the greys? Are they a leader? Are they the ones that lead them or guide them? Or
as we have said in the past, the idea of leading is a misnomer in this context. It would be the same thing as saying or asking, does one part of your brain lead the other? They are of one mind yet there are different components that serve different functions. They may represent what you would call a more organizational aspect, but they do not lead any more than your index finger leads your small finger on your hand when you grasp something. Do you follow this analogy?
Could you go into it a little more? I'm not quite
sure. If there is difficulty in this, it is probably because you are an individuated consciousness and do not understand the hive mentality. It is a single entity. A single entity. Do you understand?
Yes.
If it is a single entity, how then can any one component actually be called a leader? It is one entity. Different components may have different abilities to organize the information within the one, and the mantis, as you say, is a higher order organizational aspect.
Okay.
But it does not correlate to what you and your civilization call a leader. For there are no leaders and followers where there is only one that acts simultaneously within itself in all components at once.
Uh-huh.
Do you understand the difference? It may seem subtle, but it is not.
Okay.
It is a profound difference.
Thank you. And lastly, I have some wonderful opportunities possibly coming my way, and I'm enjoying the process regardless of the outcome.
This, then, do not ask about.
Can you just discuss
this? This, then, do not ask about.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And number two.
Good day, Bashar.
And are you good day?
Great day.
All right to you. Great day.
Great day to you, too.
Thank you.
Wanted to ask you if when Daryl stops channeling you,
yeah,
we know no one else is going to be channeling you, but are any other Esasani going to continue to be channeled like Lon, or is there any other...
No comment.
As individuals?
No comment.
Will you elaborate as to maybe why?
No comment.
Okay. when you do decide to make contact with us, when the timing is right, is there a way, a place for us to look? Will you make radio contact? Will it be such a public announcement, or will the government
try
and...
Are you speaking of my actual physical presence?
Yes.
You will know.
How will we know?
You will know.
Okay, I mean, is there a place that we should be paying attention to?
You will know.
Okay.
Believe me, you won't miss it.
Okay. And we'll...
Except in that you may be worried that you'll miss it.
Okay. And I've seen something on the Discovery Channel about alchemy, where
yes,
the ancients used to be able, claimed to be able to turn mercury into gold.
Yes.
And recently, they have actually proven that this can be done in,
yes,
a linear accelerator.
Yes.
And I was wondering if you could tell us anything about how the ancients did this.
Yes.
Or
through the transmutation of self and the connection of self to all matter. For the true change of the alchemist was the purification of the self. And in so doing, the raising of the personal vibrations that then could affect the material of those substances and allow them to transmute.
But they actually did use chemicals, I believe, didn't they?
This only, in a sense, as a catalyzing agent or as the assistance of process. The highest alchemists needed no such things, and allow their energy itself to transmute all other substances.
Okay. Is there a way that we could connect with this ourselves now?
Of course.
I mean, can you suggest any practical method for it that we might go about this?
Practical methods?
Yeah. Practical for us to be able to put into practice.
All right. Here's one. What is your physical age?
35.
Meditate every day for 1 hour until you are 55. Every single day without fail for 20 of your years. You follow me?
Yeah.
By doing that and being in a pure state of balance for that hour every day for 20 of your years, you will then be at the appropriate frequency level to transmute in the same way that they did. Now, that's a practical suggestion.
Just with intent.
Yes.
Okay. And are there any other things related to alchemy as far as dream symbols or any other shapes or things that are interesting to you and that would be educational or useful to us that you might like to share?
Only the circle. Only the unbroken circle.
Okay. And as far as timeline shifts...
One other thing for you to remember.
Okay.
Again, remember, as has been said in many disciplines upon your planet, it is the emptiness that makes the vessel useful.
Can you clarify that a little more?
What is a cup without the emptiness within? With no emptiness, it is not useful as a cup. It is the emptiness of a thing that makes a thing useful.
Okay.
Therefore, in what you believe to be emptiness, you will find all usefulness.
Okay.
You will then become the vessel, the crucible of transmutation. When you are completely and utterly in touch with the core of your own emptiness, you will understand that everything comes from that emptiness, and by being at one with the emptiness, you will be able to transmute all things that come from it. For you will be able to shape the emptiness into whatever form you wish it to take. For you will understand the relationship of emptiness to form. That is the alchemist's understanding and the pure state of the alchemist.
Thank you. And if I could just ask you one other thing.
One other thing.
Okay. As far as the neutrals go,
yes.
Are they going to be in any continued communication with us?
They are, yes. Since they have decided to be unanimously, then they are.
Then
but we cannot tell you how they are.
That was the question.
No, okay. The question was, are they going to be in continuous communication with us? And that we have answered.
Thank you.
And we are not going to tell you how.
Bashar.
Thank you, Bashar.
Thank you.
Bashar.
Female.
And he does kinesiology, and he tested the MSM and said it was toxic, and he's found that it was toxic with most people.
This is not the case.
Do you know why he's picking that up?
Yes, and we will not go into it.
Okay. I am gaining a lot from working with him, and I find that some of the ideas, like he thinks kombucha is toxic sometimes to people because of yeast or something. And
sometimes it may be. But it depends upon the other things that are in the person. Toxicity in that sense, again, is still, as with everything, the product of a relationship to other things. And that is the thing that is being missed in these statements. And that is the thing that needs to be looked at. For a thing is not in that sense toxic in and of itself, but only in relationship to other things.
Can you say if that MSM that I was...
I will not say.
Okay. I enjoy working with him, and I'm getting a lot out of it. I mean...
You have said many times with many different individuals.
Yes. And I'm wondering how I deal with things like, for instance, I just talked to you about the MSM and other opinions that...
If you are still wondering how you deal with this, nothing I can say will help you. For we told you all of this long ago. You must stop your wondering. End of conversation.
Okay.
You.
Hello, Bashar.
And you, good day.
I had a dream experience where I became conscious when I was coming out of my body. And then I started to experience great acceleration.
Yes.
And I experienced going through a wormhole, similar to in the movie Contact.
We understand.
This was something I've never experienced before.
All right, congratulations.
Oh, thank you. One of the things that was really exciting about it was that as I was accelerating through this wormhole,
yes.
I sort of drew on my experience with Space Mountain. And I learned...
Space Mountain.
Yeah,
oh,
that ride.
Yes.
And I was actually able to, instead of being nauseated by the speed,
yes.
I was able to moderate it.
Very
and it
good.
Was comfortable.
Then you caught up to a portion of yourself.
And I was wanted to stay with it, and I stayed with it for quite a while, and
oh,
then a thought entered my consciousness,
yes.
which was something that I feared,
all right.
or I had
and
issues
around. And you see
around.
The power that thoughts then have.
And yeah, it took me right out.
All right, very good. You have given yourself an unmistakable energy lesson. Very clear,
and it was,
very precise.
It was while it was something I was consciously aware of, I didn't realize the degree to which it was still impacting my life.
Now you do.
So that's.
But it only impacted your life to that degree at that moment, and it impacts your life to that degree at no other moment. That's your next clue.
So it was bringing it into consciousness and looking at it, and then I could let it go.
Yes. If you understand, it only impacted your life to that degree at the moment you were looking at it, and impacts you at no other moment.
Oh, okay, rather than thinking
there is
that
no real such thing in that sense as autonomous belief systems. They do not continue when you don't look at them. But if you believe they do, they will act as if they have.
Well, it is kind of unnerving to realize that there's something going on that you're not conscious of.
I just told you there isn't.
All right, and so what you're saying is you bring it to the
what
fore.
What I am telling you is that the idea that there is something going on that you're not conscious of is in and of itself a definition you all buy into, but is no more real than the definition.
So it'll just appear in your consciousness at a time that you need to look at it.
Yes, and it will bring with it the apparency of having been there underground waiting for you, when in fact that's never the case. It only brings the illusion of having been there, because that's the definition it represents.
So if it's...
All things are now. There is no past. But what you call the past will look like the past when it appears in the now, because that's how you define it to be.
Well, I was under the impression that because I was accelerating and my frequency was rising at that moment,
yes.
something came to the surface that...
That is how you interpret it.
Right.
But what you did was test yourself to see how the new frequency would handle looking at that belief system as you created it in the moment.
The belief system overwhelmed the frequency.
You, by definition, chose to allow it to do so. But that was how you chose to look at it.
Right.
How
yes.
you chose to define it.
I was experiencing a lot of fear when I woke up.
Yes. But that is how you chose to interpret the experience.
Okay. So I could just use it.
Yes.
But understand that it doesn't exist
until
unless
you,
I focus my
in
consciousness
that sense,
on
create it.
It
in the moment.
Okay. I can
and
see
when
that.
You create it in the moment, it will come with all the linear paraphernalia it needs to make it appear as if it has continuity in linear reality.
Yeah, because it really surprised me that it came up.
Yes. Just as a photograph that you look at in the present will bring with it all the apparency of a picture you took in the past. Because it has to in order to fit your preconceived assumptions of what linear reality is all about. If, however, you chose to create that photograph to be completely in the present, it would not look as if it were taken in the past.
You're saying that I created it just to show myself what could take me out of
yes.
the experience that I was having.
Yes.
So I could be more clear on it
and show yourself
something different.
That the past is an illusion.
Okay.
It is created in the moment.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Although it does at times seem like there are unconscious influences.
That is
and
because
agendas.
Of the definition you create there to seem to be. There is no unconscious self, truly. You are one unbroken consciousness. But you create there the seemingness of unconsciousness that hides from yourself. And so in conjuring it, in allowing yourself to create that, you create there to be a game of hide and seek that then allows an apparent portion to be capable of being discovered.
Right. Yeah, it is kind of distracting, actually.
As we have said in the past, you are a 100% consciousness, and you are using 100% of your brain to make it seem as if you're only using 10%. This is the game you all have played with yourselves for generations. You are a one unbroken consciousness. Anything else is what you create in the moment, but what you create will come with the apparency of the game you are playing, because it is nothing if not obedient to your creation. And if you say it is from the past, it will bring with it all the marks of the past to make it seem that that is where it comes from and has been laying in wait for you, hiding. But those are the qualities you give it in the moment, and those qualities do not exist before the moment you have created it to seem so.
Would it be beneficial to look at how it might apply to the present, or how I might feel in the present?
Would it?
Maybe yes, maybe no.
Very good. Now you're catching on. As you say, so it is.
Well,
yes.
The other thing is that...
What is the other thing?
I've been having a lot of challenges physically and emotionally. And
yes, and this is all related to what we have just said. You are now beginning to break down your definitions of consciousness, and as these definitions bang into each other, it creates and sets up this cacophony that you are now experiencing and attempting to integrate. But that is all it is all these definitions banging into one another that allow you to then decide what shall be the definition of the present and what shall not be.
Is there a visualization that comes to you that you might share with me?
Yes. Though you want me to share it with you.
I'd love you to.
You would love me to share the visualization with you.
Yes.
I'm not so sure you would.
Does switching on the ganglia allow you to access 100%?
I'm not so sure you would want me to share the visualization with you.
Right now. You know what?
At any time.
At any time.
At any time ever.
Oh, now I'm really intrigued.
Are you sure?
Yes.
How intrigued?
Yes, I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued. Go. Go for it.
Is your curiosity up?
Oh, very up.
Not quite enough.
Oh.
Do you believe... Yes. That your curiosity is capable of handling the image we will then throw at you.
Yes.
Why do you know this?
Because I'm very strong.
How do you know this?
Because I know this.
Then no image is necessary. The image is the image of pure nothing. Can you handle pure nothing?
Good question.
Thank you. You may ponder that.
All right, I will. Bashar. Thank you, Bashar.
At this timing... We will once again extend to each and every one of you our deep appreciation in the allowance of this transmission. Our unconditional love to each and every one, to whatever degree you are willing to allow unconditional love for yourselves. Good day. How did it go? Thank you all for being here tonight, and I will see you again. Have a good evening.